WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning. And if you missed our discussion in the last hour with Michelle Hantman of the United Way of Greater New Bedford about how they're going to be helping people get fed in the face of this SNAP crisis, I did just push out the podcast. So about an hour from now, within an hour or so, it should start showing up in people's feeds or available on the WBSM app, the WBSM podcasts, wherever you get those from. I recommend, although it's not our site, but I recommend to people the site listennotes.com because that seems to be the first site that updates with it to be able to download it. So, and then of course it'll be on our app if you want to stream it. So lots of different ways to listen. Of course, now it is time to be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, as we are each week at this time. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. How was your Halloween?
It was great. I got to join my colleagues, Ward 6 Councilor Ryan Pereira and Councilors at Large Ian Abreu and Naomi Carney, as well as State Representative Antonio Cabral, for the South End Halloween Parade. It was really windy this year. I was notating that last year I was Fred Flintstone, and if you're familiar with what Fred Flintstone typically wears, it was actually nice enough out where I didn't need to have a jacket or wear anything.
I mean, a jacket would ruin that costume.
Yeah, it would.
They didn't have jackets in the Stone Age.
but this year I had to be really bundled up because the wind really was cutting through. And then even, unfortunately, some people were leaving a little earlier just because of how cold it was. But overall, it was still a really great showing. And the kids got to eat a lot of candy. I think they had hundreds of bags of candy that they were like still unable to give away. It was just so much candy, and I forget all the sponsors that donated every year, but always a great success by my colleagues that organized that in the South End, and all the sponsors that come together to give away bikes and different cash prizes for the amazing different original costumes that they have.
I can imagine there was some really great stuff. I mean, kids are starting to become, and not just the kids, but the parents get into it too now too,
because oh, yeah.
we live in the cosplay generation where people want to dress up and so they work on these things all year long. So it's less about going out to the store and buying the costume and more about like what can we create.
Yeah, it was nice to even, as you point out, the parents, I think the themed costumes were trying to make sure that their costumes matched what their children were wearing. But then there were even some dog parents there. One of the recipients of the prize was a dog that they were dressed up, I think, as the Toy Story characters. So dog was dressed up as Woody. And then one of the dogs that won was dressed up as... who's Woody's counterpart? Not Buzz. The girl character.
I don't know.
Jesse, that's what. Okay. With the little red hat.
I just saw the first movie and that was it.
I
think I saw the third one. Is the third one where like the
Toy Story 3? Yeah.
I think that's the one where they have like that machine that might be setting.
The claw.
Might be, yeah, yeah.
No, the claw.
No, the one where they might be burning them all in the incinerator.
Oh.
I think that was, yeah.
Yeah. They're all like... A mesh
it
of
all, yeah, it yeah. all blends
and
together
I forget
to me.
There's like a million of them now, and I think they're coming out with another Toy Story.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're just so enduring that it's just like I love them. It's a nostalgic movie for me. So even at 32 years old, it's like I can't wait to go see Toy Story again.
Just a little side trivia note, but all of the Toy Story toys and the cartoon show and all that stuff that all have like Woody in them, or like anytime you buy a Woody toy. You know that's not Tom Hanks' voice?
Oh, it's his brother, right?
It's his brother, yeah.
I think remember
hearing that. Jim Hanks, I think, yeah.
It's really it's
weird how much
their voice sounds like, yeah.
So,
well, good voice actor, yeah.
What I need is I need more of Jim Hanks as David S. Pumpkins, because that's the best Tom Hanks character ever. So this is obviously a very trying week for a lot of people with the SNAP benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of in limbo and things trying to get worked out with the courts and the federal government. But I know that's something that, we've talked about here quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that a lot of great organizations in the city help out with. From a city council level, what can people expect the council to be able to offer in the way of any kind of assistance in this?
Well, again, this goes back to what I've always said, what we here on the local level, what we lack in legislative authority, we make up for and influence. So really using our platform to spread awareness. We have a number of amazing organizations that are doing the work every single day to help make life a little easier for our residents here in New Bedford. What I will say, though, is unfortunately, tragically enough, the soup kitchens or whatever you want to refer to them as, the food banks, they're not really designed to make up for the loss of these SNAP benefits. And so that's just the reality of the situation. So, of course, that's not to say you shouldn't donate to these food banks, and please do. And what I have been sharing with some, you know, people have reached out to myself, and I know a number of my colleagues as well, looking for resources. How can they help? So please definitely donate if you can. But the question they always ask, you know, what should I be donating? And my... Oftentimes, I just say, give money.
Money. That's
and
the number one answer.
I know that sounds kind of like, oof, like how much money or like as much as you can, whatever you can. Because I know other people are struggling right now, too. We're going into the holiday seasons. People are struggling as it is, and they barely can make their ends meet. And so sometimes the next part I say is if you can't give money, give non-perishables if you can. Because that's the only tough part is if you're going to go and try to do the shopping for these different organizations, whether it's like a, you know, a statewide brand or national brand like Project Bread, that DTA, the organization I work, the agency I should say, we obviously promote Project Bread that we partner with, but we have obviously United Way of New Bedford here. We have Pace that has their food bank up on Park Street. You could go and shop for them. I believe they have different options that they ask for that they keep on rotation. But right now, because of the high influx that's, you know, going on for them, I don't think they have the time or capacity right now to be answering phones and really be working with everyone to say, yes, we need this, we need that. They just need everything. And so that's why it is just easier if you were to fund them and say, hey, here's some money, especially because we know with the recent cuts that we've seen from the federal government, a lot of these agencies have reduced their funding. They haven't gotten a lot of the funding that they were used to. And so this is why, you know, a lot of times what I'm hearing from some of our constituents here on the local level are, what's going on in Congress? This is such a mess. Why aren't the Democrats just voting for this CR or continuing resolution? And a lot of times I, you know, get frustrated because I'm like, well, this is exactly why. Because if they give in now, what happens next? You know, we have to continue on until the midterms, obviously. And, you know, not to make this into a partisan thing, but that's what it is. It is a partisan right. issue where we have, excuse me.
They've made it partisan. They've made it a political football.
Yeah. And so we had, as they refer to it, not me, the big, beautiful bill. And I don't think people really understand what was in that big, beautiful bill. There were billions, with a B, billions of cuts to our SNAP program in that. So starting as of now, November 1st, even if SNAP were to continue, there would be huge changes and reductions to that. Who would be eligible to receive SNAP benefits and how much your household would be eligible for. On then all the billions of cuts to Medicaid, which for those here in Massachusetts, that's your mass health program. So for health insurance premiums and the health connector, which now open enrollment's coming up, and the extension for the Affordable Care Act, all of these changes that people are not thinking about because the people that we elect to think about that stuff are fighting for you right now. And so they're thinking, oh, these Democrats just playing game and they're you know, risking our lives. No, they're actually really trying to save your life right now to make sure that this SNAP benefit, which a lot of people, I don't know if you understand, SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's a supplement. It's not meant to replace your entire food budget, but for many people, especially in New Bedford, it does. If you don't have enough money to pay your rent, to pay your electric bill, that money that you get on your EBT card is going to replace your entire food budget. And so then what happens a lot of times, these food banks were set up or designed to be a supplement to that supplement. And so that's why right now I am somewhat fearful about the fact that these food banks now are gearing up to be an entire replacement for that supplement. And so that's going to be very challenging as we go, obviously, into Thanksgiving, which already these food banks have been preparing for giving turkeys out. We have, you know, different this time of year, typically different groups, whether it's Boys and Girls Club or, you know, even I think locally here, the Old Bedford Village that Buddy Andrade runs puts together turkey giveaways. They are already preparing for that. But I don't know if those kind of funds and resources will be depleted on the offset of trying to give people their daily needs. The other part that I think is lost on a lot of people right now is there are contingency funds already set up to continue SNAP benefits during a government shutdown. And that's what frustrates me. A lot of people that aren't educated enough to understand how government works, and they're thinking, rightfully so, that, oh, Congress appropriates funds, so this isn't the president's fault. Why are people blaming Trump? There's been a lot of controversy around Governor Maura Healey posting on the state website blaming President Trump about ending SNAP benefits. And they said, this isn't his fault. Congress shut down government. This is the Democrat. But it's trying to explain to people that there are it's an actual contingency fund set up in the USDA's account for this exact situation. And I'm trying to remind people that in 2019, this exact situation happened during the last, well, now we've exceeded the historic shutdown. Now this is the longest one. But previously it was 35 days, I believe, in 2019. It was January of 2019. We were gearing up back then. I worked for I was in the Taunton DTA at the time, and we thought SNAP benefits were going to end on February 1st. And the contingency funds came into act then because we were saying, oh, funds weren't going to come out in February. USDA, under President Trump, the same president that has the shutdown now, said, okay, we got to make sure these people eat. We got to make sure these funds go out. And that is what it's designed for. He released the funds. That was in 2019. Now here we are in 2025, same situation. He says, oh, guess what? I want to be cruel and I'm just going to withhold these funds. And he wants the rest of these Americans to believe that he has no control, that he needs to go to the courts.
He's saying now he's waiting for the court to make the decision.
It's false. And now we know there's a judge here in Massachusetts because our Attorney General Andrew Campbell has sued along with other attorneys general across different commonwealths and other states have sued, and these federal judges are saying, no, you need to release these contingency funds. Not the Massachusetts judge, there was a judge in Rhode Island that went a step further and said, not only are you going to use these contingency funds, but you're going to find other funds somewhere else to make it work. Because I think the other part that is so devastating in this situation is any other president that has had a government shutdown, they recognize the optics of, okay, well, let's get to the negotiating table. Let's get the government back up and running. This president has said, no, let's build a ballroom. Let's go travel the world. Let's pretend like everything's fine. And things are not fine as people continue to struggle. So that's, I think, the part for me that's most frustrating is as people continue to hem and haw about, oh, this is on the Democrats to make work. And I would say, again, it might sound biased because obviously, as everyone knows, I am a Democrat. I believe my colleagues on the federal level are trying to negotiate, are trying to make this work. But the president believes that he is in the right here and is unwilling to move at all and is not negotiating.
I mean, so this morning, I don't know if you saw it, but last night, Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver sent a letter out to Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey requesting that they end this. And I said this morning, I was like, you know, kudos to you for writing this, but also, you know, write a letter to President Trump saying the same thing, saying that you should be funding this on an emergency basis with those contingency funds. Mm-hmm. But I do think this has become, as I said before, a political football. And in the end, we just want to see people get fed. And with that in mind, I'm sure it's heartening to you to see the people of the community who have kind of come together and said, we're going to find different ways. We talked to the folks who started a Facebook group to be able to help people feed each other. We're seeing a lot of folks who want to do something and get out there and help, and people who are getting more involved. Maybe this is the thing that gets people who weren't involved and weren't paying attention to start paying attention and start holding government accountable, you know, no matter which side you're on.
Yeah, it's one thing I will always say is community does come together. And that's always heartening to see that people are willing to come together and help each other out. That's the one thing I think New Bedford is rich in, is the fact that neighbors are willing to help neighbors out, especially not just New Bedford, but I think throughout America. I wish they felt that way in the ballot box, obviously, when they see this type of division and chaos. You know, circling back on your comments regarding my colleague that wrote that letter, I did get to see it last night when I thought, I'm like, oh, geez. Respect his position to want to use his influence, which, again, as I always say, what we lack in legislative authority, we make up for influence. So that's great. But I you know, to your point, I think that would have been better directed to the person in power that can do that, which in this case, again, is President Trump, who can release those funds. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, his letter said something about having stability and leadership in this time. And as we know, there is no stability and leadership where there is actual power, which is the branches of government that have all the control right now. And we know, for lack of essentially, the president's saying, let them eat cake. You know, that's essentially what's happening right now. And so to lay this at the feet, I think even in his letter, which was kind of smugly written, that says, like, at least have the decency to allow these people to eat. And it's like, that is not on Senators Warren and Markey. That is on this president, who is literally saying to these people, I don't care if you starve to death. I want my ballroom. I want my rich donors to have their tax cut. And that's what Senators Warren and Markey are fighting for. They're saying, I don't want your healthcare premiums to skyrocket. I don't want your SNAP benefits to decrease. And so right now, yes, President Trump is withholding your food and he wants you to starve to death. And that's essentially what they're fighting for.
All right. Why don't we take a break? We get some calls coming in. 508-996-0500. Why don't we take a break here, a real quick one, and when we come back, we'll get right into those calls. And we'll be right back with more with Council President Burgo in just a few moments.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
All right, we are back with Council President Burgo. We're going to go right to your phone calls, 508-996-0500. We did get an app chat message from DSY who says, I will say, Mr. Burgo, you are making sense. Good job. So,
oh, thank you.
We'll temper that with a compliment here, because I'm sure the callers might not go the same way. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope you guys had a good and safe weekend.
Same to you.
You know, I've been around for a long, long time. Politics, since I was like 8 or 9 years old, holding signs for Senator Kennedy and doing bumper stickers. And ever since the beginning of our country's foundation, every Congress, every Senate, every president can always separate or amend something separate from whatever the issue is. The fact that both sides have allowed this to happen and knew it was coming and made no specific adjustments, I blame them all. You do not let people starve or struggle, or it's even going to hurt more, because whatever money they were saving, say, for Christmas or to go traveling, now they're going to divert that from the SNAP benefits through their weekly, monthly survival to their bills. The overall economy, they could have less to spend in our economies. Mm. Dumb.
Yeah, that's a great point that the caller brings up, is that's what we see oftentimes, is individuals that have to make it work. Obviously, they're deciding between, am I going to eat this week? Am I going to pay for my prescription? Am I going to keep my lights on? So they are having to make very, very difficult decisions right now. And obviously, even if the SNAP benefits turn back on, it's not as though they're going to be able to reimburse themselves from whatever funds that they used.
They were already spent. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so they're already going to be putting themselves at a disadvantage, even if, you know, President Trump does decide to release these funds, which that's what we're predicting is going to happen later this week. I think people, out of fear, are already going to gear up to buy something now. Oftentimes what we do see as well with elderly people, they save up some of their SNAP benefits gearing up for November for the holidays so they can have a bigger meal for Thanksgiving. And what they might have done, because a lot of people were fearful that their SNAP benefits might not be there in November, where they were spending it down now. And we know they might not buy non-perishables or certain food might spoil. So it's just been very chaotic. So I agree that, we need to get something done soon. And hopefully everyone will come to the table.
And my thoughts and prayers go out to the families affected this weekend from that horrible accident with the teenagers.
Yeah.
A few of my friends are coming back from Mohegan Sun, and they came upon that scene just as police and fire were responding and state police. It was chaotic and horrible. And thoughts and prayers to those families of the two who passed away and the others who were injured and terrified.
Yes,
absolutely. Thank you for the call, Phil.
Yep.
And let's take another one here, and we got room for you at 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning, Tim.
Morning.
And good morning, Counselor.
Good morning.
13 times the Democrats rejected opening the government. This is all because of Medicaid, the Obamacare extension from 2020. It's going to expire at the end of this year. And that was the Democrat plan. Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, doesn't care. The Democrats who have said publicly they're going to use this, thing with Medicaid to make Americans poorer, and they're going to go without.
Yeah, so I recognize your voice. You're the guy that calls in often to talk about taxes. And so one of the things I'll ask you about is, given all the cuts that they and by they, I mean the Republicans have made to Medicaid and SNAP and all the other areas I spoke about, your tax bill is not going down, but all of those services are going to go down. How do you feel about that?
I'm not a Republican. I think both of these parties,
I didn't say that
Democrats,
you're a Republican.
Republicans,
I'm asking you, though, with all of those cuts that the Republicans have made, that's my question, because your criticism is of the Democrats.
Yeah, but the city's not run by Republicans. It's run by Democrats.
The country is run by Republicans
right
now.
The mayor's a Democrat, and most of you guys are Democrats. My taxes have been going up every year.
Yeah.
Run by Democrats.
And your federal taxes as well. So that's why I'm asking you the question I'll ask again.
And I'm telling you, the Democrats run our city, and they're running our city into the ground and pay more taxes, higher sewer water fees. But this is all about the Democrats that don't want to come to the table and agree to shut this to open the government. We have men and women in uniform defending our country, going without pay.
So
we
you won't answer the question about the taxes that are going to keep going up. They're not saving any money. The cuts, again, at the federal level, you're talking about local, which is great. Obviously, I here at the local level, I can answer those questions.
Yeah, the federal level is Liz Warren and Markey, and they could end this tomorrow.
But
they don't want to do it.
But at what cost?
You're talking politics.
Yes, but that's what they're politicians.
Why aren't you picking up the phone and calling Liz Warren and Markey and say, stop it?
Because
with the
I agree with what they're fighting for.
They're asking the wrong question.
They're fighting for health insurance. They're fighting for SNAP benefits. They're fighting for
what? Legal aliens, 59%.
No, that's the talking point that you're
Medicaid goes to illegal aliens.
You are saying you're not a Republican.
That's not true.
You're saying that you're not a Republican, but you have all the talking points that the Republican Party has handed you.
I'm not a Republican.
I know. You can keep saying that.
Hold on. Let's take turns. It'll sound a lot better that way.
Yeah, well, you can keep saying that you're not a Republican, but you obviously strongly support the Republican Party and their policies. And so what I'm asking you is, if you support
these... I want the Senate to do their job. And this is not up to Supreme Court judges. That's an abuse. That's judicial overreach. That's not the founders' intent. We have the judges telling the president, when it's the Senate's job, to vote up or down, and 13 times they've said no to open the government.
The founders instilled this thought process of having a filibuster to make sure that the right of the minority, which in this case, obviously, the Democrats, is heard.
50% of illegal aliens getting health insurance is a minority.
No, we're not talking about that minority. We're talking about the minority party.
Hold on, if I can.
This is what this is all about.
Hold on, if I can.
It's about Medicaid, and the Democrats are using SNAP as leverage.
I just want to interject for a second, sir. I'm just getting a lot of noise on the other end of your phone, so I have to keep potting you down so we can't always hear you when you're speaking, just because I'm getting a lot of blowback on the receiver there.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
The Senate's job. They're not doing their job. Republican and Democrats.
Who controls the Senate?
Yes or no.
And the
Democrats have voted 13 times to keep the government shut down.
He didn't want to answer that.
I'm just going to let there anyway.
But anyway. The point that I'm trying to make here is this gentleman, which I was hoping that he would answer, but he didn't want to answer because he knows the answer doesn't favor his talking point. He calls in all the time, rightfully so, talking about the rising taxes, which is true, especially when you have rising taxes and your services are going down. And that's exactly what the Democrats are fighting for at the federal level. You have a Republican big, beautiful bill that this gentleman is championing and saying, yes, We have to have these cuts to the, as he referred to it, Obamacare, but we all know is the Affordable Care Act, the ACA subsidies. We have to get rid of that. We have to get rid of Medicaid. We have to get rid of SNAP benefits. We have to get rid of all of these services to the American people. But then guess what? They gave all of these tax breaks to rich billionaires, so your tax bill is still going up. You didn't save any money, so your bill is going to still be high, and your services are going to be depleted, and so people will still starve. Your health insurance premiums, your co-pays, the cost, the lines at hospitals are going to be longer because there won't be any doctors, or even some hospitals in rural, especially in rural areas, are closing down. That's what this fight is over. And of course, we don't want to talk about those kind of things. We want to make up these crazy talking points about illegal aliens and say all these buzzwords. But then when you're pushed on actual specifics, you want to blow air into the phone and not be able to answer the question. But anyway, that was the point I wanted to
make. That might have just been a bad connection, but let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. So I understand that you favor the Democrats holding solid on this shutdown and that you agree that this, you agree with the principle of what they're fighting for. But what is the downside to signing the continuing resolution and continuing to work towards a resolution? What is the downside of doing that?
The Republicans have shown that they are unwilling to move and work towards anything. And we've done continuing resolutions previously, as Speaker Mike Johnson has pointed out, that this is the similar CR that they've already voted on previously, which is, he pointed out that Chuck Schumer has done this before. And so, just like they did before, they voted on this last time and nothing changed. Nothing changed.
Well, I mean,
so if you keep doing the same thing with no changes, that's insane. So they have to try to do something different in this matter.
The Republicans have also signed CRs right along as well. So it's not a one-sided thing.
They've signed CRs that favor them. But in this case, they refuse to negotiate. And that's why Mike Johnson has sent the House home. And their CR expires, I think, November 21st, if I remember correctly. And at this point, the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Thune, I believe his name is, has also sent the Senate Republicans home. And so the Democrats are the only ones willing to stay and work for their salaries, while the Republicans have said, I'm done. I'm going home and you need to vote for this. It's our way or the highway.
So what do you think the benefit is to not signing the CR? Like, what is it that they're accomplishing by not signing the CR that they would not have if they just held everybody at bay where they are and just... I don't get the leverage.
Again, so in this situation, November 1st was a huge marker for a lot of situations that came out with the big, beautiful bill. As I pointed out again, changes to SNAP benefit eligibility and also the benefit amount.
Yep.
Also, the open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act
begins
this month. So that's what makes... That's what makes it different this time around. So previously, before those changes that came about because of the big, beautiful bill wouldn't take effect until now, which is why previously, yes, the Democrats felt, sure, let's keep the government open while we continue to negotiate because we have time to negotiate. But now there is no more time. The time has come. November 1st, 2025 is here. All of these drastic changes that the Republicans have voted in that are going to affect all of these Americans with higher cost of living are now here, and they are going to hurt families, American families, working families. And that's why now Democrats feel as though the damage that it will cause to American families are far worse than what this shutdown will cause. That's the long and short of it.
My question is how does this give leverage to the Democrats? I understand what you're saying about the time frame, but how does it give them, how does this give them leverage other than just causing the general public to suffer?
My question is, who's causing the suffering?
I mean, I think to kind of get to what the caller is saying, I think what you're alluding to here is that, you know, the idea that the Democrats might be doing this as a way to hurt the Republicans heading toward the midterms and try to have that messaging to say this is the Republicans' fault, this is why we need change, and that they're kind of using this as a...
Listen, we can say that all we want. All these 50-year politicians never expected the internet. We can go back and watch every single politician on both sides of every subject take the opposite side. They've been doing this forever. This isn't new. Every time they're on the wrong side of an opinion, they just magically change their opinion. Not just Democrats, all of them, every one of them. And we can go back and watch them do this for 60 years.
Sure.
So I don't see what torturing people is just sign a deal, CR, and continue to negotiate. If your point is so valid, we should be able to negotiate through it. I don't understand why we have to hold the whole damn country hostage.
All right, well, I'm gonna hold you there, but thank you for the call. And I will say, you know, this does come up when people say that, oh, well, they felt differently. I mean, people's opinions and positions and policies can change over time, but also the caller's right. I mean, politicians do flip-flop. They do have a tendency to flip-flop, too. So,
well, I think...
He says as he looks at the politician.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say to that is you want to be able to have... politicians, or as I like to refer to myself as a public servant, be flexible and be able to hear from their constituents, but not just constituents, other whether it's experts, or as you gain more information or more data, you learn, and as you know more, you are sometimes able to change your perception on an issue. And sometimes that is why it gives the appearance of a flip-flop, but sometimes you are sometimes saying, oh, well, based on what I had read or heard about, this is how I felt about it. But now hearing a different testimony or a different, experience from a different constituent or different data that I received, now I feel this way about it. And you want to have a politician or an elected official be able to be flexible with the data that they receive.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We can take more calls, 508-996-0500, but we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to switch it back to the local. I want to ask you about the latest in the Parallel Products / South Coast Renewables saga, because now there's another development in that. So we can talk about that and more of your calls coming up with Council President Burgo in just a few moments.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
All right, we do have a caller on hold, but really quickly, just let us know about the meetings that are coming up this week, Council President Burgo.
Oh.
How about I turn on your mic? There you go.
So there are no meetings this week.
Okay.
Just the first 7 days, we don't have any meetings.
The election, yeah.
Yeah, we had just two meetings last week. First meeting, we had a special city council meeting for celebration, which is always a great time to come together as a council and celebrate a lot of amazing people in the community that are doing amazing work and celebrate milestones. Like the first one that comes to mind is Dee's Hot Dogs. I think celebrated 40 years.
40 years, yeah.
So that was amazing. She didn't bring us any hot dogs though, so we'll have to go
next
by.
Time.
But, you know, just it's really wonderful, you know, and I got to Councilor Brian Gomes celebrated the Cape Verdean Recognition Committee. And it was really funny because I've been a part of the Cape Verdean Recognition Committee for many years now, even before I was on the city council, and they had submitted my name as one of the volunteers to be celebrated, and the office called to say, do you want to sign your own citation? So I didn't get a citation, but it was just great to have the room filled with different people in the community doing amazing work and getting that opportunity to celebrate them every year. The other special city council meeting that we had, unfortunately, was a meeting I had to schedule because, again, the situation with Mayor Mitchell wanting to try to appoint people without city council oversight. We had a situation where an election commissioner had resigned her post and it expired back in April. That had been vacant since April, and he attempted to do an emergency appointment, which was not allowed under Mass General Law. I explained that to him, and I thought we had an understanding, and clearly not. He still tried to force through this an emergency appointment, and I explained to him the different chapters. I think it was Chapter 16A that we govern under as a Board of Election Commissioners. Thankfully, this time we didn't actually have to go to court, and he sent it down to us, and we were able to screen Daniel Higgins during the special city council meeting to make sure he was rightfully placed and confirmed before our election, which is just a reminder, tomorrow, Tuesday, November 4th, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. is our local municipal election. So now we have two Republicans and two Democrats appropriately and properly serving on the election commission, thankfully, because of the city council doing their job properly.
All right, caller, hang on. Let me just get this last break in so that I can make sure I get it, and then we'll come back. We'll finish up with your call. We'll be right back to wrap things up with Council President Burgo.